Bant.
If the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to episode 359 of BRB UK. It's a podcast and stuff. I'm Dan, one of your hosts.
We're nearly an Xbox.
You're the red ring to my Xbox, Tim, and you always will be. Yeah? True, though, isn't it? It is true.
Yep, that's fine. I'll take that.
It is true. Yeah, all right, fair enough. Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in once again. But we're down to Coal Man this week.
Oh, no!
He's terribly embarrassed because he made a mistake last week and we banished him from the podcast. Yes, just to say, Spiky Chris has let us know that Coleman made a bad, and we were going on about Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville Founders Edition. It actually gives you access to the early access, not the beta. And also, buying the early access gives you a discount over buying the full release. So ignore what Coleman said last week.
Oh, okay.
So, in order to fill the void left by Coleman and his banishment from the realm, we've got Rick. Hello, Rick.
I am a terrible replacement for Coleman. I feel like you've made a horrible decision.
To be fair, the bar's pretty low. As Tim has proved, we're an equal opportunity employer. So, all forms of idiocy, borderline ineptitude with the English language are welcome here.
Well, good then, thanks much.
Good then, thanks much. Me Rick, me podcaster. So tell our dear listeners, for those of them who are going, who the heck is this Rick bloke? Who the heck is this Rick bloke?
This Rick bloke is the co-host of Comics Inc., the podcast all about the comic books on BigRedBarrel.com. Little bit of a cheeky plug there. Doing it right, though. But Tim's got a big smile on his face now. Yep. Like, that's how you do a plug. Yep. That's how it's done.
Always on brand. Good work.
So, yes, welcome, Rick. And make sure, listeners, that you have a little listen to Comics Inc. That's I-N-C dot, as in incorporated. But because comics are often drawn with ink, it's a little jeu de mot that you might also enjoy.
It's well clever, is what it is.
Yes, it is, to quote Rick. Well clever.
Yep.
So I suppose we better get into it, because Rick, you played all of the video games last week at the Namco Post Gamescom Showcase, which is a difficult thing to say, which we'll get to in a bit. But before we get to that excitement, we're going to plough through some news.
It's the news.
Are you ready to plough through some news?
Like Mr. Plough, like outdated Simpsons references, I'm ready to plough through this news.
Nice. As in The Witcher ploughing, or just...
Whoa! More Mr. Plough.
More Mr. Okay, good. Lovely. Right. Okay.
More wholesome.
Headline the first. Folks are not happy with NBA 2K20.
Yeah.
They're not happy at all. There's pitchforks. There's riots in the street. Actually, everyone thinks that this whole proroguing parliament is the cause of these riots. It is, in fact, NBA 2K20.
Seems legit.
Yeah, well, it is. That's because it is legit, sir. This is, you come here for your real news. None of this fake news nonsense on BRB UK.
Dan, you're pretty unhappy that it's a basketball game, right? Like, that would be your point of contention.
I'm just still upset that it's no longer a Spike Lee joint, mate. That's where I'm coming from. NBA 2K20 has had all kinds of issues. It's very broken, for a start. So it was launched on September 6th, I believe. There's all kinds of technical issues. Really, just like athletes are clipping through stuff. Attribute bars don't work. Progress you're making's not recorded, so it doesn't count. Well, and the other problem is that there's a lot of, surprise, surprise, microtransactions or surprise bags. I don't know what EA call them at the moment. But they're very aggressive with their microtransactions, which, you know, it kind of comes with the territory in games like this. But there is something where the kind of the VC currency, which is in-game and can be earned through game progress, but is also purchasable with real-world money, you can spend that to raise stats, only to have those stats stay the same or become lower. Because when you buy something, you want less of what you bought. The dev team are working around the clock, apparently, to sort these issues out. If only they had a similar work ethic before the game was released.
It's one of those things. It's difficult to be critical of some game issues these days. Like, some games are so big and, you know, they're trying to be ambitious with things. And I'm not going to fault someone for being ambitious and then kind of missing the mark on that regard. But it makes it much easier to criticize all of these things, you know, all of the technical issues, when they've stuffed in a load of microtransactions and essentially raised the price of the game as a result, almost, kind of thing. It just feels it's the wrong year to make those mistakes. You can't be introducing that while introducing this. And perhaps they were so keen to deliver on lots of new features and lots of extra things, or, you know, just making it all it could be, or as I said, trying to be a bit too ambitious, because they felt they had to deliver so much to offset what they were adding in terms of microtransactions. That's the only kind of get out I'll give them. But generally, it seems like they're playing launch game bullshit bingo kind of thing. I mean, like, they seem to have everything going wrong in this case, and that's not good. But at least in this day and age, they sound like mostly problems that can be fixed.
But they're problems that shouldn't be there in the first place. Like, they're so obvious and glaring that these things should have been picked up by any kind of competent QA department and fixed way before going to launch. It's just funny that the thing that does seem to work with this is there's no problem with taking the money through the microtransactions. Like, that works fine.
Yeah, and also if you spend the money to increase your stats, which is, as you said, one way you go about it, it may or may not work. Therefore, hoping that you buy even more of the monies.
Yeah, it's an unfinished game that, kind of going with what Tim said, being a bit too ambitious with it, maybe, but the publisher should have either not signed off on a lot of the stuff that was being put in it, going, oh no, this is the time frame that you have isn't enough to put this in, or your crunch period is literally going to be 6 months, which is disgusting in itself. But the game isn't finished. There's far too much there.
It's a pretty gangster move, though, isn't it, really? Thinking about it that way.
But 2 points. One, I think it's slightly unfair, especially of you, Rick, to pick up on a QA department when you know the QA department probably cited all the faults and they decided what was worth fixing in the time, kind of thing. I mean,
oh no, I'm not. I haven't got a problem with the QA department. I'm saying that it should have been picked up by somebody. It probably would have been picked up by somebody. It's just that down the line, those kind of things have been ignored. So the fault does ultimately still fall on the developers.
Yeah. More the developers than the actual QA department. Just pointing out that difference, because it sounded like you were criticising the QA department, basically.
Nah, I'll never criticise the QA department. I've done my time on the front line.
That's why I was making sure that was clear, because people don't necessarily know that.
Then that's on me. But no, these should have and would have been picked up by a competent department, and they've been completely ignored.
You know, I think with any, you know, modern games are complex beasts. And there will always be known shippable bugs, is how I think they classify them. But, you know, obviously it's up to the publisher to decide what's acceptable to ship. And something as banal or obvious as, hey, I press a button to make this number go up and it goes down.
I do think this is a problem that we're going to see become more and more prominent with annual games, though, because the bigger they get, the less time frame they have, like the less manpower they have. As we know from big companies, they're taking manpower away from it because they're trying to save money, but they're still expecting these annual games to come out on time, and they are just going to get worse.
Right. It's not a great excuse for delivering that product and expecting the same amount of money. It is a good reason, but it's not a viable excuse. It's not something you can turn around to someone and say, well, it's more difficult to make and we want to bring it out every year because we want to milk you every year. So if that's the case, then they should be doing a 3 or 2 year cycle where they update the game and doing roster updates in between. That is the way they should have been approaching a lot of sports games, arguably, for quite some time.
Or even the Call of Duty way of having different developers.
Yeah.
Having a 2 or 3 year cycle on per one, so you've actually got a better game. That's why the quality of the Call of Duty games don't really go down. They are still very well solid made games.
Or equally year on year. is another way to look at it. Hey, look, I could do a game every single year. It'd be absolute garbage, but I can guarantee you it'd be the same quality each time. That's my approach.
I reckon they'd get a little bit better. A bit better, yeah.
I am pretty committed to mediocrity. I'm very committed to it.
We have been producing a very mediocre podcast for quite some time now. I guarantee signs of improvement.
I guarantee what it would be. I'd search through the code. I would go, find 2019, replace with 2020. That's how I would do next year's game. Everything
I nearly made a horrible joke about Bandai Namco, but I'm not going to.
No, please don't. They're lovely people. They pay for you to do a thing. So, yes, Apple Arcade is is next up. For those of you who are living under a rock, Apple had a little shindig this week where they announced, quite frankly, a phone that's actually given people anxiety. The iPhone 11 is actually freaking people out. There's something called tryptophobia, which is a fear of what appears to be holes that are too close in proximity to one another.
Okay.
And the monstrous three-lens behemoth that is the iPhone 11 is apparently causing people with tryptophobia a large amount of distress. It's not... I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't giggle, but...
It is funny, though.
It is kind of funny. Is a bit funny.
It is kind of is a bit funny. And I'm sorry. You know, I know, bless him, Steve Jobs is sadly long gone these days, and Johnny Ive has now left the company. But that is one ugly phone. That is one ugly phone. Although the Apple Watch 5 does look quite good. But why am I rabbiting on about this, I hear you ask? It's because more news was forthcoming about Apple Arcade, which is Apple's almost, well, I suppose they'd like to style it as a Netflix of games on their platform.
Awesome.
So for £4.99 a month, which will be good for not just you, but your entire family, there will be a bunch of games made available on Apple Arcade that once you're a subscriber, you're able to download. So there's going to be over 100 new games, which come from a range of publishers, including Konami, Q Games, I know Revolution Software, UK developers have got something on the way as well. And I think they were featured in one of their previous videos announcing the service. And it's always announced back at WWDC 2019 earlier this year. So it's an all-you-can-play subscription service, a bit like Xbox Game Pass. And if you've got an iPhone, an iPad, a Mac, and an Apple TV, well, then your games can follow you around, apparently. So yeah, I think the real differentiator they're trying to get in here is that it does include offline support, which, considering the vast majority of these are always on mobile devices, is, yeah, I suppose that's a thing. I suppose if you're on a plane and you have no cell phone reception, well, that's fine. But I really like the fact that you can share it with up to six family members as well. I think that's quite nice. I think, though, it's going to live and die by the choice of games and how willing Apple is in terms of deciding what segment of this market they want, because they're never going to be able to compete, or certainly the way they're going about things with the kind of all singing, all dancing, you know, game console experience. There are certain games that work very well on mobile platforms, and if they're going to double down on those, I think it's got a chance.
Mate, from what I've seen of the games that they've lined up so far, okay, I haven't seen the Frogger thing that everyone was going about, I haven't seen all the presentation, but they announced the Choo Choo Rocket. I'm in. I want to play Choo Choo Rocket.
Then I'll lend you my Dreamcast version.
Well, yeah. Yeah, well, isn't it like the 20th anniversary of the Dreamcast this year or something? Well,
yes. A lot of people going on about it being the 20th anniversary of when it came out, but that was in the States, not here yet.
Can I just say how ruddy depressing it is that was 20 years ago?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, I still remember being in the shop and buying it, but hey.
I still have my cardboard Sonic the Hedgehog display thing from Sonic Adventure.
And do you still love it like the b- it is every night?
Yeah, I often roll my girlfriend out of bed and replace her with the
do
Sonic
you?
Cutout.
Got to get all those rings, mate, haven't you?
But seriously, like, I don't know about you guys, I don't have Apple devices, yeah? But if I had...
No, I don't. An Apple... I have a keyboard. Got an Apple keyboard.
Well, I've got
can't play on that.
I've got a computer and a laptop, but I don't have the, you know, the iPhones and the iPads and all that type of stuff. If I did, I think I would be signing up to this in preference to buying my Google Stadia, which I'm on the fence about cancelling at the moment, to be honest.
They still haven't sent me my bloody email reserving my special name with my special badge.
Yeah, they haven't sent me that, and they haven't given me any detail that makes me go, yeah, this would be a good investment. Not one. Since they announced it.
Tim, I'll remind you, the last time you used the word investment was in the same sentence as Ouya, okay? I'm just saying.
Tim, ring an ambulance now because you need to go to the burn unit.
I do not think there is... Right, at the moment, I am seeing no significant reason why I would have more fun with a Google Stadia than I did with my Ouya. I will get more money's worth out of it.
I can't see any significant reason why you'd get a Google Stadia with your internet connection. You are mad.
My internet connection's good.
It's terrible.
No, my Wi-Fi connection's terrible because BT are gits, but the actual wide internet connection is good.
Well, yeah, but everything south of that wide connection is totally your fault, Tim, FYI. just going to put that out there. Hopefully, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they keep piling games into this service, but it could potentially be a really great thing. And I think a fiver a month is a reasonable price. And so if you have Apple devices, I'm sure there's going to be, you know, trial periods as this thing goes on as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think don't you get a portion of it free when you get Apple TV for a time or something as well? Or I can't remember exactly how that works, but there's some link up between Apple TV and the Apple Arcade stuff as well. So, yeah, I don't know. If I had more iDevices, I'd definitely be more interested.
Do you want to hear another amazing bit of news that ranks up there with the Pope lives in the Vatican still? EA, we've talked about them already. They've gone, game streaming. Can we charge people money for that? We like money, don't we? We love money. Let's do a cloud stream game service thing. So, they are doing a technical trial in the near future, which there's meant to be just testing out their technology they have to make all this work. It's going to have games such as FIFA 19, Titanfall 2, Need for Speed Rivals, and Unravel. So there's an interesting mix of games there, insofar as quite a lot of them rely on relatively accurate timing. And we all know that lag is the major problem with game streaming services that are streaming essentially the video output to your TV and streaming your controller input back to it. You'll be pleased to know they've got something highly exciting planned, and that is something to gather more inputs at a scale to test performance and quality of service in a variety of network conditions and on multiple server routing scenarios. In other words, an alpha test is really what it is. So it's going to be mainly focused on PC, but they're going to try and test out the tech to allow gamers to, guess what, play anywhere and on anything they choose. And there's a load of additional waffle about using Amazon Web Services and public cloud and blah, blah, blah. Usual stuff.
Thanks for joining us this week.
Yes, and they are hoping to allow players to play together no matter what device they're on. That's a little unclear as to whether or not that's no matter what device you're on while connected to the cloud service, or no matter what device you're playing, be it a physical console, a PC, or the cloud service. There's not enough info there to be sure exactly what they mean. And I'm sure they're probably purposefully being slightly evasive there anyway.
Does this strike you as not good news? I mean, I'm a bit anti-EA with all their peddling microtransactions to children nonsense still going on. Although they did get rapped on the knuckles by the British government today, which was quite good to see. We might talk about that.
At least the bloody government's doing
something next week. But anyway, we mentioned this before. Now, everyone can have a streaming service. If everyone's going to have a streaming service, their prices better be bloody low, or, you know, or something else going on. Like, this is another one of those things where it's not great news for, as far as I'm concerned, for the Google Stadia as well. Like, they're presumably possibly going to be on Stadia, but then it'll be you need to pay a subscription to EA. You need to pay a subscription to these people, you know?
Tim, as someone who's got into PC gaming, I frankly don't feel at home unless I've got to load 15 different applications to play all the games that I want. And I that's what I expect and demand from my streaming services that I will doubtless be paying for in the near future.
But just, I don't know, like, it's like everyone's, you know, going for the land grab, and there's just, it's not enough land for everyone, guys. It's not going to work.
Land grab? I think you mean it's a WAN grab. There's a little network joke for you. Ah, Bants. Yeah, I'm with you, Rick.
You disgust me.
Mate, I completely agree. I disgust myself. I really do.
But I don't see this being a good step forward for consumers. It all sounds good for companies.
Although, I'm just going to be devil's advocate here. Competition ultimately should always benefit the consumer unless they're in collusion with one another. It drives innovation.
Yeah, but for me, it's almost like the publishers are now saying, yeah, do we really need like console platform manufacturers, and we can just cut people out of the equation and just get more money for doing less. I don't know. For me, a console manufacturer does kind of offer something, but I guess that's even something that's been eroded. Like, you're not, there's no like mark of quality for the games that come to a console, or no guarantee in that in a lot of cases.
God damn it. Don't you know, own a Nintendo console? You know that seal of quality. It's a wonderful thing. Hand stamped on there by Shigeru Miyamoto to every single copy of every single game that is sold. I will not have you besmirch their good work, sir.
30 games
yes,
a day.
The Switch
out.
Online oh, yeah. store is flawless. There's nothing but 10 out of 10 quality games on
hey,
there.
Hey, well, if you know, everything's Nothing's going to have an unfavourable rating if there's no ratings on anything, put it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I worry about the future of this, and I think it will come to a point where there's basically companies, and I'm not necessarily saying EA, but some of the companies that are doing this will get their fingers burnt, and that will end up costing consumers a lot of money, basically, where they've essentially wasted a lot of the company's money in trying to set these things up.
To be fair, in this day and age, Tim, there's much more to really lose sleep about the way the trajectory that this country's on at the moment. Yeah.
That's why I had to laugh when I saw that Parliament was banging on about gambling in games and stuff today. It's like, there's more pressing things to be talking about today.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, don't get me wrong. Can you maybe do that instead?
Yeah, it's a major issue. Don't get me wrong. But everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And perhaps let's just, you know, concentrate on that first.
Let's fix one problem at a time. Look,
this was a part of a government investigation type thing that was completely separate from anything else. To me, it was actually a really good sign that despite the fact that the Brexit shambles is still crumbling all around us, that there were still things actually taking place and the government actually doing things and actually getting on with stuff. And it wasn't just the fact that Brexit is sucking all the oxygen out of the room so that we're not getting on with the day-to-day things that we should be doing as a country. Like, that was actually a good sign for me, not the bad sign that you thought it was.
We're all buggered, really, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, but the good news is all of this is ultimately meaningless in the face of the inevitable heat death of the universe. So, you know, really, exactly. On a universal scale, yeah, it don't really matter, you know? You know, chill out. It's fine. So we run out of food and medicine. It's all right.
And who needs food and or medicine?
Who needs food or medicine? We can stream FIFA 2021.
Exactly. Exactly. And maybe NBA 2K20 will be fixed by then as well. Who knows? So that's it. That's your headlines. So we're now going to interest your points. Tim, You're a man who likes fried chicken.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Rick, you're a man who likes fried chicken.
Vegetarian.
F***ing sake, boys. Seriously.
I like fried chicken. I can't deny that.
Right. Okay, Tim, imagine the scene.
Yes.
You've just finished a bucket of chicken.
With or without Jeremy Corbyn on it.
Dealer's choice on that one for you, mate.
Right, okay, fine.
Okay, all right. You've eaten the chicken, you've still got the skin left, and you're wondering, do I have the skin now or do I let it dry out?
But why didn't I eat the skin first like I normally do?
Well, because you're all of a kerfuffle, Tim. You're all of a kerfuffle.
Think this bit through at all, did you?
Well, just shush now. Right, okay.
Yep.
You're all of a kerfuffle. You've eaten your chicken out of order. And do you know why that is, Tim?
Greasy hands.
No, because you're a very sad, lonely, middle-aged man.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Now, that's true.
Who likes fried chicken? You should get it all
exactly.
In one
sense. So all of this can be remedied in one fell swoop.
Good.
Apart from the fact you don't have a PC. Which I've only just realised. They are going to launch, KFC is going to launch a Colonel Sanders endorsed dating sim. That's right. That was Rick dropping the mic right there. It's in slightly kind of Japanese porno anime style, for want of a better word of putting it. It's a bit like Hatchful Boyfriend, but you're eating the bird instead of trying to go out with the bird, I suppose.
That's what you do in most of the dating games.
Is it called Cluck It, F*** It, Bucket?
No, nor is it called Finger Licking Chicken. It's it's called I Love You, Colonel Sanders.
Also true.
It's apparently the most delicious dating simulator ever created. It's got 9 lovable characters, multiple hours of playthrough, a dateable Colonel Sanders, secret ending, secret recipes, cooking battles, battle battles? What?
Battle battles? So you can battle a battle.
You battle a battle. You can earn a degree from a fictional culinary school. There are 11 herbs and spices. There's cute miniature food, and it's officially created by KFC.
If the tagline isn't "he's finger licking good," they've missed a trick.
I don't know if they have or haven't.
They have.
Do you reckon after the date you get one of those little napkins just to sort your fingers out? To freshen up.
No, but you do get a greasy bucket.
No.
See, if I don't know about you guys, if I was dating Colonel Sanders, I would want to learn at least one of the secret herbs and spices. Just one. Not all of them necessarily.
If you were dating Colonel Sanders, I'd be like, Tim, I never knew you were into older men.
I mean, so old he's dead. But, you know, that's fine also, Tim. You be you, mate. You be the best
chicken
you that you can
based
be.
Chicken-based necrophilia. Is there a word for that? I don't know.
KFC.
Yes!
Harsh. Well done. Yeah, but fair. But the good news is, Tim, actually, I said, unfortunately, you don't have a PC. But right. In fact, I know you do have a Mac.
Yes.
And you can play this on the Mac.
Yes!
You are a lucky, lucky sausage.
Now, this, no interest. Give me the grimmest dating sim, and I'm on it.
To be fair, I think this is going to be pretty weird.
You could be fair or unfair, and it would still be quite weird. I don't know about you, I find dating sims inherently a little bit creepy, but I guess they're not aimed at me, so who cares? I don't know.
Well, let me read you a couple of lines of dialogue, Tim, see if this wets your appetite.
See if this tickles my chicken.
Okay, right. You're saying this to a chef, that ever since we were little babies playing together and you rescued me from that quicksand box, it's been clear to me that you're the most loving, caring person I know. You're going to do great. Then you're in class, all right?
Yeah.
You're in class.
Class.
Okay. You're
Why
in class. You're,
lear-
you're learning the things. You're only on secret herb and spice number two, Tim. You've got more to learn. You've got another 9 to learn about. All right. Professor Dog steps in to settle the class down and set some ground rules.
Is he actually a dog?
Yeah, it's actually like it's a corgi.
That's amazing.
Wicked. Yeah.
Game of the year.
Yep.
Game I'm of in. The year.
Jeff Keighley. Game of the year.
Yeah. And here's another one just to finish you off here, so to speak. Colonel Sanders lifts a large bucket above his head. Its contents glimmer in the light.
Death Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it probably make more sense than Death Sanders, to be honest, but, you know, there we go. Anyway, that's it. Talking of dead greasy things, Resident Evil is their new Resident Evil title has been released. It's Project Resistance, which is going to be, guess what? We talked about one of these only last week, I think. A 4-versus-1 asymmetrical PvP game where 4 players work together to escape the clutches of a player-controlled mastermind. Quote.
Have Capcom learned nothing from how bad their Resident Evil shooty games do?
Looking at this, no. So it's a new Resident Evil spin-off that takes place on the outskirts of Raccoon City. So it's kind of, much like many of these games, it follows the trope of there are 4 survivors and you've got to work together and escape 3 fiendish levels and there's zombies. There's a closed beta if you want to be interested.
No.
Between October 4th and 7th, which you can sign up for from today, which is the 12th of September, recording the show, to the 19th of September. So if you're listening to this and it's relatively soon after its release, you can get in on that, should you so wish.
I mean, arguably, if there's a place for a Predator game...
A magical place.
If there's a place for a Predator game... You can kind of see this.
Are there millions of Jeffreys all under one roof?
Resident Evil kind of universe, but yeah, was it Resident Evil Raccoon City the last time they did it?
Operation Raccoon City.
Operation Raccoon City. Yes,
and there was one before that as well.
That was terrible.
Yeah, they're not good.
No,
they're not good. These spin-offs, are they?
But they have been on a bit of a good run with Resident Evil of late.
I think that's why this is coming out, because they've had the good luck with it and they've done the good stuff, and now they're like, let's just release something.
Lower the tone again.
Yeah, people have forgotten about the old stuff. They love it at the moment. They're going to lap this up, so...
This game could be like the refreshing wipe at the end of a KFC bucket. Let's just get rid of all the rubbish.
I'm really glad you said at the end of a KFC bucket. I was really wondering what that refreshing wipe was going to be.
It could go either way. As you say, history does not bode well for them necessarily, but at the same time, history with their remakes didn't always go well, and they've knocked those out of the park by most Resident Evil fans' accounts in the last couple, and Resident Evil 7 pretty hard, and they did quite well with the VR portion of that as well, which was a bit more experimental. So, I don't know. That would possibly give me a bit more faith to kind of maybe see how this one works out, basically. But, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of the Resident Evil universe, but when they do stuff that's interesting, kind of worth paying attention to sometimes.
You know what? They've had a good couple of years. Yeah. They're allowed a miss.
Then there's going to be a couple of years of misses, Rick. You do realise that's how it works with this franchise.
As long as they come back with the hit that is Resident Evil Nemesis, a Dino Crisis remake, and Devil May Cry, well, DMC 2.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't Devil May Cry 6. Dino Crisis.
You know what? If that's going to be their comeback after a couple of years of this, I'm going to take the hit.
But, well, all I'm saying is they possibly, after a good couple of runs in the Resident Evil universe, they deserve the benefit of the doubt until this releases, rather than just they deserve to make a crap one now. But, you know, okay.
It's like when a band makes a good album, then a bad album, then two good albums, and then a bad album. You go, you know what? The next one will be fine. It'll be like that.
It all averages out, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's going to be rubbish, I'm just saying.
That's probably quite fair. So that's the new Resident Evil stuff. But it's not only, we've talked about greasy buckets. Now we're going to talk about rings, okay?
I'm so glad you made that segue, because I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, buckets. This is a podcast about buckets and rings. It's amazing.
So if you want to have a ring adventure, Nintendo have got you covered. A surprising twist of circumstances. So the Ring Fit Adventure is what Nintendo announced. And this is kind of, I think, them wanting to recapture the Wii Fit zeitgeist they had all the way back in the early noughties. So if you want a big plastic ring into which you're going to plug a Joy-Con, and you want a matching, slightly sassy thigh garter thing for your other Joy-Con, then Nintendo are going to make you very, very happy. So, yeah, there's a bunch of kind of movement games that measure the motion from the accelerometers in your Joy-Cons to allow you to get fit whilst having fun.
Do you reckon they tried to make this out of Labo before? And was like, this isn't going to work.
I really like, yeah, but Labo and rings. I think this is a wonderful...
Oh, dear. I can't imagine the cardboard thing going around your thigh very well, basically. But this sounded, well, it sounded ridiculous, and it looks even more ridiculous when you see the stuff. But have you seen any of the actual game footage?
No, I've just seen the family thrusting at each other.
Like, I thought, this reminded me of Christmas. As soon as I saw some of the game feature, I was like, okay, this is going to work. This is going to be successful. I reckon it's going to do well. Like, basically, they've built an RPG where you can choose different attacks, and those attacks are a different exercise that you then have to do to attack the thing that, well, you know, to, yeah, hit the life bar of the thing that's advancing towards you, basically.
As a card-carrying fat guy who desperately needs to reduce his cardiovascular risk, I'm quite up for the gamification of exercise in this way. And, you know, if it gets people a bit more active, then great. And to be fair, it does look quite fun what they've come up with. So even if it will make you look like a complete idiot as you're doing it.
All right, let's get it and play it for Extra Life.
Whoa, steady on there, Satan. I'm not
24 hours of exercise is not a good idea
for
anyone.
Get on camera and thrust for charity. It's all for a good cause.
I mean, the videos are just incredible. They're kind of mesmerizing.
It's one of those things that sounded like Vitality Sensor kind of ridiculous.
Yeah,
and then
did
I realized,
that ever happen?
No, they never actually released that. But then they quietly kind of went, oh, no, that, we forgot about that. But yeah, but I reckon it's going to be more Wii Balance Board of, okay, this is actually an idea that I can see people taking to the gamification of exercise stuff. As you say, it's something they have had success with before, and it possibly, you know, maybe, I don't know why they, I guess they, if they went with a platform type thing, it was a bit too similar to what they went with before. So this is a bit different. But yeah, as I said, I definitely see this as something they can have success with. And as especially having seen the footage, I reckon this will be a success.
Yeah, it looks good fun, I have to say. And, you know, I don't know what the price point is.
I think I saw something like £70 or £80, something in that sort of region for the kit and the game.
That's not too bad, I suppose. It's possibly about £20 more than I would have liked to have seen. But if I can get giggles out of wearing a Joy-Con garter, then consider me in.
Now, how long till this appears in Smash?
Instantaneously, I would say.
It's going to be the final unlockable DLC character, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it's going to be.
The final ring. The final ring? The final character.
The final ring. The final ring to bust on through.
Don't be rude now.
But you've got to bust those rings. You've got to bust on through, mate.
You've got to bust through rings.
You've got to fight against the resistance is what you've got to do.
Yeah.
Mm.
Can we move on, please?
I think we should. Now, I think that's it with the news and the points of interest. So we probably want to move on to what we've done played. Now, I'm going to very briefly say I have played some Gears 5 on PC. It looks great, appears to be more of the same, but I know people are going crazy over it in the outside world. So I'm not going to say much more than that, other than I will play some more of it and let you know a bit more about it next week.
Has it performed okay on the PC so far?
It's a gorgeous-looking game. It really is a gorgeous-looking game. It's... You know, obviously it's Gears, so it feels very Gears-y insofar as you feel like you're constantly wading through a vat of golden syrup whenever you want to move somewhere. But, you know, it's more Gears.
I hear very good things about the campaign particularly, but
yes.
It's tempting me into picking it up in some way, somehow.
But it's, you know, it looks like it's going to be the good times.
It's no Army of Two, though, is it?
Many things aren't. Many things aren't, and that's generally to their benefit.
Army of Two wasn't even Army of Two.
Game of the year, mate.
Of which year?
2001, I guess.
Yeah, why not?
Felt quite old when it came out.
Unfortunately, it was released much later than that.
1996.
Oh, God, I was 16 then. I'm so old. Right, I'm going to make you two have a verbal slap fight over who wants to go first. Mr. November or Rick?
Age before beauty.
Okay, in that case, I'm going to get mine out of the way fairly quickly and probably have to come back to that next week for reasons.
Now, is this is the one you've got to come back to for reasons the WRCA FIA World Rally Championship?
Yes.
Because you were concerned you were going to find this game a bit hard.
Right, and it is, but not in a way that I dislike, basically. I knew it was probably going to be fairly simmy going in. I was guessing that. It's even more full-on sim than kind of the kind of Codemaster games of the past and like the what was the latest one after they DOS Colin McRae? It was this Rally. I can't remember what the other bit of the title was from the Codemaster games recently. Possibly. What were the rally games by Codemasters recently?
Hang on. I've just noticed something about the title list, Tim. It's called WRCA FIA World Rally Championship. So that's World Rally Championship 8 World Rally Championship, is essentially what they've called it.
That's what the title is? Well, that's what it is.
Well, more power to them, I guess, aren't they?
Yep.
It's just in case you forget.
But generally, it's even more sim-heavy than the kind of Codemasters dirt rally kind of stuff. It's a full-on sim where you're even kind of choosing like who you allocate as your pit crew for that turn and like for that race rather, and like doing practice events in between events. And I quite like all the way that works. And as I said, I'll come back to it in a few more details next week when I've had a chance to get through a few more races. Partly because I've just been busy this weekend out of the house, but then also. Yeah, the thing that made it difficult for me to... Like, I had an evening when I had friends around, and we would have played this for a longer period of time, but the problem is that they limit the number of restarts that you can have on a race to 5, which is quite a tight number of things.
Well, all right if you're not...
Yes, but the people I was racing with were not quite as good as me at racing and felt that they were... You know, taking up one of the restarts to have a go. And I'm like, well, okay, this isn't really good. And we end up playing Gran Turismo for the rest of the evening type of thing. But yeah, it just, that has made it more difficult for me to play this week and has kind of let the game down a bit, which I otherwise would enjoy. I need to fully explore and see if I can tweak some of the in-game options to up the amount of restarts or possibly not limit them, but it just felt a bit like that's a really strange gaming decision that makes it impossible for me to sit here and enjoy the game with my friends. Why would you do that? I don't understand. But the racing and like graphically it looks pretty good. I'm not sure like how it compares directly with dirt rally stuff, like, because that looked pretty good as well. But and I think mostly the kind of the tracks and the actual cars and everything looks pretty good, but some of the more incidental roadside stuff doesn't like look like as as well polished as I would like it to be. And like, there's some like cars and stuff by the side of the road that don't actually look very good. They don't have like reflective windows or anything kind of thing.
They might just not have windows.
The windows might be down.
Yeah, but it's just a kind of black windows kind of stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
That's
just
right.
Solid matte colour type thing. It just didn't look that impressive. I don't know if that was just a one-off or something, but like, generally, as I said, the it looks fairly graphically impressive in the areas that you really care about kind of thing. And yeah, and it's unforgiving in a way, and especially when some of the tracks are really, really tight. And like to the point where we were playing like racing behind the car view, and it was really difficult to see the track. So I think I'm going to have to go back and get used to the in-car view and then like kind of race those tracks again a bit more. But yeah, like it's very sim heavy and very, and that was going to put off some people, but it's going to attract some people to that as well, basically. But I really like elements of it, but it needs to be something where I can sit down on my own on this occasion and kind of like get into the groove of playing it a bit type of thing. Consequence, I don't think I can give my full opinion on it at the moment just because I haven't seen quite enough of the game. But I quite like the general structure of the game and the actual racing and everything, and all that is quite appealing and done quite to a quite high standard. And as I said, it's even more sim heavy with some of the things it introduces. Like, you need to basically be budgeting for the team that you're adding and the mechanics that you have and how good they are at actually fixing your car and all that type of stuff. And you even need to like employ someone better at predicting the weather to give you a more accurate weather report and stuff like that.
Damn straight you do.
Yeah, yeah, and that's like quite an important thing when you're going with tire choices and stuff like that. But yeah, as I said, like it's very sim heavy, but quite good at what it does, basically. And I'm gonna play a bit more of it before I can give my full opinion. But as I should point out, I was given a review copy of this. That's part of the reason I feel obliged to talk about it a little bit this week. But I'll come back with my full opinion when I've had time to put a bit more time into it, basically.
To be fair, though, I think that kind of the WRC series of games have always positioned themselves as much more true sim racing than dirt, which is always a slightly on the more arcadey side. That's not to say you can up the simminess of it, but certainly the WRC series have always been positioned as the more hardcore rally sim, I would say.
I can't remember because there's two from Codemasters, and I may be confusing them, but I thought Dirt Rally was the more sim one. Is that the more arcadey one though?
I've always considered Dirt a bit. I might just be me getting my knickers into it. So I've always thought the WRC ones there are the more simmy ones. Anyway, this is a thrilling conversation, listeners, that I'm no doubt you're thrilled that we're having.
This is more simmy than any of the versions that Codemasters have come out with before, basically. It's even more kind of, in depth into what you're doing, as I said, like the team management side of stuff and all that side of stuff, and I quite like the way they've implemented it and the way it's done. It's all looks, you know, highly polished and well presented and easy kind of layout and stuff. So yeah, I like that side of it, basically. So yeah,
jolly good. And I also understand, Timothy, it's not only the video games you've been playing.
Yes.
But also a bit of cheeky board game action in the form of Ticket to Ride London.
Yeah, and I just mentioned it quickly just because I did get invited to go to an event. It was the kind of launch event, actually, of the game that we had as our feature game last week at Loading, but still. Quite an interesting event. If anyone's interested, I put up some photos and stuff like that. But it's an event where I actually got to go and try the game myself. So this was actually a novel thing for me, as I don't usually get time to play, well, every week at Tabletop Tuesday, and very rarely get to play the feature game the week it's the feature game. So, and yeah, I played a similar game before. Anyone doesn't know, they've launched a couple of kind of stripped down versions of Ticket to Ride, which is a very good kind of entry level board game generally, but this makes it an even better kind of quicker game to play through. It's a kind of stripped down version that plays in about half an hour or so or less, and is a much smaller board, which I find is even better if you're playing with a lesser number of people. If you're playing with like two, it's better than playing a two-player game on the full board. But it works like quite well with four people. We tried it with like three and four people last night. And yeah, like they had an event in the London Transport Museum, which is interesting, which is the other reason why some of the photos might be of interest. And you can check them out on my Instagram, which is at basically underscore Tim. But yeah, like it was nice to get to play the game. Ticket to Ride's general kind of what widely regarded as a modern classic these days, but this is a really nice distilled version of the game that plays in a quicker amount of time and has some slight rule variances. You've got like zones rather than like getting points for having the longest train and all that stuff, and it's all in this TTR London is all based in kind of 1970s London and has buses. So I was the red team naturally, so I got big red buses, or small red buses in this case.
Always on brand, Tim.
Always on brand. But yeah, like it manages to distill the kind of its bigger brother into a much smaller package that plays in a quicker amount of time and doesn't seem to lose too much for doing so, basically. Like, it's something that, yeah, I think plays really well. I'd played New York, which was the other one they had out previously, but this is the new release, the London-based one, which, you know, it's nice that they're based in London as well, kind of thing. But yeah, like, I really enjoyed it. I kind of like Ticket to Ride generally anyway. It's a good game. And there's a reason why it's highly regarded and regarded as a modern classic, but then this is a really nice version of it that I think I might actually look to play in preference to playing the main game in the future, certainly for until the novelty wears off, or, you know, in like just playing it for a variety, or, you know, a variation to the main game. But yeah, like I really enjoyed it. It's really good. So thought I'd like just kind of for the fact that I got an invite to the event, also kind of cover it, but also just generally mentioning it for people that might be interested. Even if you haven't really got into board games, this is a very good entry-level game. It's also got quite a small form factor, so it's an easy one to kind of travel with, sort of thing. I wouldn't say it was a travel game necessarily, even though it's based on like London Transport, but yeah, it's an easy one to have in a suitcase for a holiday, much easier than putting a full copy of Ticket to Ride, for instance.
So basically, it's a nice little distillation of everything that makes it good and enjoyable.
Yeah.
There we go. I just did, in 5 seconds, what you spent 5 minutes doing. anyway, Tim, that's enough nonsense from you, because, Rick, you've been on a phantasmagorical wander round what Bandai Namco was showing off in Gamescom, but not at Gamescom, post-Gamescom, if you will. So tell us all about it. I'm on the edge of my seat.
It's a thrilling story.
Okay, all right. I'm sitting comfortably.
Considering that everything went wrong.
Right. Okay.
So we got invited to the Bandai Namco HQ headquarters in Richmond, London, to check out their post-Gamescom launch of games, which was Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, One Punch Man, One Piece Warriors, I think it was called, Ni No Kuni and Code Vein. And it was a capture event where you go and you take your stuff to capture the footage. And
so we got some great captures, right?
Well, we would have done if the Mac didn't crap out at the end.
Aww, what?
And I went, all right, let's save that. And it went, nah, error, and deleted everything.
Wow, that's just spiteful.
I was not very happy
not
at all.
Not entirely sure why you weren't saving each one after you recorded them, but still.
I started doing that, and then it was recording over that. I'll talk to you off the air about it.
No, I've got a feeling, Tim, this is not the bear to poke at this moment in time.
Yeah, because I'm still very sore from it.
It's too soon, isn't it? It's too soon.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm here, to try and, through the medium of storytelling, give you some kind of visual. Like, I captured it in my mind, through my eyes, and I'm hoping some kind of audio YouTube, I can show you what I was playing. So, I played each game twice. They were timed demos, for about 20 minutes each. Played each one twice, and three of them play pretty much the same. Very weird. It's very weird. A lot of them are style over substance.
Okay.
Dragon Ball Z Kakarot is an open world RPG where you play through the first kind of story arc from Dragon Ball Z.
Right.
This one took you up into the Raditz fight. So there's quest markers in a big open world. You're flying around on his little cloud, whose name I can't remember, and you run up to a quest marker, get off your cloud, talk to them, get your quest, and then I couldn't figure out how to get back on the cloud.
Or what I like to call Tuesday, that whole schmozzle there. That's what I do every Tuesday. Brilliant. Love it. Love riding around on my cloud.
That makes a lot of sense.
It doesn't it?
So it turns out that he can fly anyway, and flying's a lot quicker than using your little cloud.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Brilliant. So there was a couple of side quests on offer. One of them was a bloke that looked like Frankenstein. Well, Frankenstein's monster going, oh, there's robots over there. Can you beat them up? And then someone else wanted me to take a rock to someone who was stood behind him. Because it's an RPG, and that's pretty much the standard for RPG side quests. But the main thing was the Raditz fight. And the combat looks a lot more complicated than it is. So the majority of it is you just mash like X to, or is it circle? You press a button and mash he punches, but he punches and he kicks and he teleports and everything with the one button. Like you just sat there mashing it like a Kingdom Hearts game, and he's flicking about everywhere, changing up his attacks. It's awesome to look at. You've got a button that's dedicated to projectiles and you press it, and if you stand back and press it, it goes pew 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 and just throws them at him. But if you're doing it in a combo, he throws it into the combo. And again, it looks really good, but there's no skill to it. It's just mash button till bad guy be dead. And to do your special moves, instead of putting in some kind of like complicated input, like with a skill based fighter like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or Tekken or something, you hold down one of the shoulder buttons and pick your special move from a drop down, which kind of cool. So you're fighting along, then you hold down your shoulder button and press a button, and then he's doing Kamehameha, and you're like, all right, cool, that could have been a button thing. It's a very stripped down, very simplified combat system. Now, it's not entirely a fighting game because it is the adventure thing, but because all of the fights are done like a fighting game, you'd think that the combat would be a little bit more involved.
Yeah.
But it's not. Like, you can block, that's useful, and you can charge, so you can use more special moves, which is also useful, but it's all just one button press, kind of mindlessly mashing. It looks nice enough. It doesn't look as good as the fighters
the fighting
game.
Games, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you need something to keep you entertained whilst repeatedly pressing the same button again, 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 and again.
Yeah, like, the fights look good. They look really impressive. It looks like watching the cartoon. It's just that making it happen, you might as well just watch the cartoon while holding a control pad and just mash the button for the same effect.
Do you think it might be built for a younger age group, or is it just not well built?
This has got to be one for kids to teens. There's no way this is like a hardcore sort of game.
But what if it is?
I think it's built more for like accessibility and fun more than being the best. You know, you've had the fighters, which at times could be a pretty in-depth competition fighter, and this feels like the complete other end of that spectrum, where they've gone, you know what, let's just make a game that's just easy to progress through.
Sort of entry-level, basically.
Yeah, and because it's gone back to the beginning of Dragon Ball Z as well, it kind of feels that it's a good sort of way to do it. It maybe introduce a new generation of people to the story.
Which I don't think anyone's ever really worked out what the story of Dragon Ball Z is, to be fair.
Coleman knows the whole thing. He knows it. He knows the whole thing. You know,
Ben Coleman is a much smarter man than I am.
Well, maybe I'm slightly exaggerating there. He knows a lot about vegetables and stuff and that and all things, but hey.
You're our very own veggie eater though, aren't you, Rick?
I am, but that isn't about my time at Bandai Namco, and I only have 15 minutes to get this finished before you need to leave.
Damn straight you do, so talk to me about One Punch. One Punch Man.
No, I'm going to get to One Punch at the end. I'm going to talk about One Piece Pirate Warriors 4 for now.
See, I think I played 3.
Then you've played 4.
Oh dear.
Because it's another Dynasty Warriors clone.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the kind of game that it's supposed to. Apparently it has a funky special name for it, but it's a Dynasty Warriors clone set in the One Piece universe, and the level that was shown during the demo is kind of like a weird Alice in Wonderland level with cakes and stuff, like giant cakes and sweets everywhere, and you're beating up playing cards and stuff. It was actually a lot of fun. And it controls exactly the same as Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. You've got two buttons to attack with, one to dodge and block, and then to do your special moves, you hold down the shoulder button, bring up a drop-down menu and press a button, and then you can use a special attack until it recharges. The thing is, it was a lot of fun. And it was mindless fun. It was just mindless button mashing until everything was dead. And I'm not the biggest fan of the Dynasty Warriors games at all. I think I reviewed Dynasty Warriors 8 for the website, gave it one of my lowest scores. I was like, this is a broken mess. Terrible game. Incredibly boring. It feels like the formula has now, it's gone on so much that they can't be broken anymore, really, because all you can do is improve on a system. And this feels like a good one. It feels like a good Dynasty Warriors clone. It's not one that I'll be picking up because I have no interest in One Piece at all. And after going to Japan the other year, even less interested in it because I had that rammed down my throat, like insert expletive and horrible joke here.
Yeah, I think they love that at the moment.
It's like the big thing.
Yeah.
So I just got absolutely sick of it. But the game plays nice. It looks nice. It controls well.
Were you doing a similar thing in? Because in the last game, I remember there was like a pirate ship that you were going between islands, and then there was like different things that you then disembarked.
This was literally just one level.
It was just
one
level.
Literally just in the level, and it's kind of the training level. It tells you how to jump. It tells you how to use your light attack, your heavy attack. It tells you how to dash.
All of those on the same button, I'm guessing.
Well, heavy attack and light attack are different buttons, and they're square and triangle. Dash is circle, jump is X, and then you hold down one of your shoulder buttons for your drop down menu for your special attacks.
So it's got that drop down menu thing going on again.
It's got the drop down menu thing going on.
Love a drop down menu.
Yeah. You get so that happens in another game I'm gonna talk about, and you're gonna groan. But I can't complain. One of the guys there complained massively.
Really?
And yeah, he was like, oh, if you like this game, I can't be your friend. And I'm like, sounds like you ain't got many friends as it is, mate.
Wow.
Complaining like that. Yeah, it just, it sounded like he had a neck beard, is all I'm saying. But yeah, the game itself was all right. Played it through twice. Had more fun the second time round when I knew the intricacies of the controls and how it works. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's just by numbers, Dynasty Warriors with bright visuals, but fans of those kind of games and One Piece are going to have a great time with this one.
Really good.
What people aren't going to have so much of a good time with, Code Vein.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Ooh, I'm surprised.
Only because it's going to beat them up, like, badly.
Oh, okay.
It's going to beat them up.
Right.
I personally can't wait. Can't wait. This is my first time playing Code Vein. And it was not what I expected at all. I was expecting a Dark Souls clone.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Souls with vampires, yeah?
Yeah, it's not that at all. It's got the difficulty, and it's got a similar like leveling system. Well, not even a similar leveling system. Like you level up.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. Like the controls are very different. Again, it has heavy attack and light attack. It's not just R1 to attack. I mean, there's certain similarities, like blocking is L1 and you can parry with L2, but attacks are on the face buttons, so like square and triangle, which threw me through a loop because I was playing it, and then when you kind of, you know, when you just kind of zone out and you're not thinking about what you're doing, I sat there pressing R1 to attack, and I'm like, no, wait, that's not how you play this game. It plays more like God Eater than Dark Souls, which everyone's comparing it to. It looks lovely. It looks great. It does play nice. I managed to get to the boss on my second attempt.
You're so cool, Rick.
I got to the second phase of the boss on my second attempt, actually, because I'm so cool. But then I ran out of time.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the problem with like timed demos. I did actually download the official demo on the PS4 today to try and get some sort of comparison going between the two. And the first 30 minutes of that is just talking and tutorials. So I didn't get to see the actual game before we started recording, which was amazing. But yeah, this game is going to kick people's asses. I can't wait for it. It's going to be great. It's a lot of fun.
I hope you enjoy your ass kicking, mate.
Yeah, me too. I think it was about a year it got delayed. I think it's definitely benefited from the time. I don't have a lot to say about Ni No Kuni, because they did something very silly with this one. Kind of silly on them, but silly on me for falling for it.
Right.
So, because it's Ni No Kuni HD, I was showing it off on the PlayStation 4, and it looks incredible. It's absolutely stunningly beautiful.
So this is the remake of the first game, yeah?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
It's the remake of the first game. And it looks beautiful. It's... Well, it looks as good as the PS3 one does, without the jaggedy edges. It's just...
So some would say better than the PS3 version.
Some people would say that.
Wow, okay. Right, cool. Continue.
Now, with it being an RPG, it's not the kind of thing that you can show off with a little demo. So they had a save point before the first boss.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, no problem. Jumped into it. The problem with trying a game like that, or specifically a game like Ni No Kuni, which has a very interesting and unique combat system, unless you know how to use that combat system, you are not going to beat that boss. So I went up against it, went, I have no idea what I'm doing, and just got battered. I'm like, am I really dying to the first boss in Ni No Kuni? I am ashamed. I went home and I burnt my RPG card.
Wow.
Are we now learning the real reason why that footage got deleted, yeah?
I am actually very glad that footage did.
Yeah. He just raged so hard.
Yeah. That's the one thing that kept me from throwing myself in front of a bus on the way home. I was like, at least no one's going to get to see that Ni No Kuni footage, because that was embarrassing.
I'm glad to see that you're viewing a failure on the first boss in its proper context, though, Rick.
You too could have got called a noob on the internet, just like me.
Well, there's, yeah, lots of very good reasons for that, Tim, that extend beyond novice mode, but, you know, there we go.
Yeah, we've all seen your Ace Combat videos.
So that's all you did. You've talked all of the things, haven't you?
I haven't talked about One Punch Man.
I know, because I'd be trying to recover recover for some reason. You're talking about things out of order on the list that's in one order, and you're doing it another. I'm very old and confused.
I didn't write that list. Blame Coleman. Coleman put them in that order.
Damn it, Coleman.
Coleman.
Right, talk to me about One Punch Man.
Okay, so One Punch Man is a beat-em-up.
Right.
It's a team-based beat-em-up. So you have three characters on your team, and each character is kind of... They have one health bar, and you can swap them in and out with a shoulder button, or when one of them gets knocked out, they get replaced, like, automatically.
Yeah, I think I played an earlier build of this, possibly.
Something that's very cool, I thought, is the use of Saitama. So Saitama can only be your third character picked. So you have to pick two regular fighters, and then you can pick Saitama. And when you start the fight, Saitama's on a cooldown. You can't actually use him. So
lazy bugger.
On the screen, there's a TV screen with live written on it, and like CRT lines, and it's Saitama running towards the camera, like running at the camera, like a live news feed of him running to the battle. And there's a countdown with how long until he's there, because he's just like a one punch KO, isn't he? So the strategy in it is you can either forgo one of your health bars for this just automatic win when he arrives, or you can just have three regular fighters get an extra health bar and more control. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It worked with, you've got a heavy attack, you've got a light attack, you've got a dodge, and then you've got a drop down with the shoulder button that allows you to do your special attacks.
I love me a drop down. Menu.
Right, I'm all for accessibility in games and stuff, but something like this, I feel like it should have been a little bit more complex. It should have leaned a little more towards the Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah, because I thought this was multiplayer, or am I misremembering my games here.
It's a fighting game.
Yeah, you can play against other people. So how does that work with the drop down when you're playing against someone else? Does it just literally pause what they're doing?
Well, I was only playing it. Oh no, the drop down just happens in real time. It doesn't pause the game.
Okay.
So you just hold it and then it goes flink and you can, it tells you which attacks you can use. It doesn't pause the game.
Okay.
So if you know what, you know, like when you're playing Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah.
And you use your special attacks, you press the shoulder button and it brings up the menu to, it doesn't pause the game, does it?
Right. But you press you hold the shoulder and then press the corresponding button.
Yeah. So you hold the shoulder and press the corresponding button.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But so the drop down menu is just giving you the information of what the buttons do, basically, yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like
okay,
this button,
okay.
Throw a bike at someone. Okay. I'll do that. And it's nice for accessibility, but I feel like it has kind of de-skilled it a little bit. But, you know, that's just me. A lot of the skill in that game does come to the blocking. Because if you get a perfect block, if you've got Saitama on your team, it reduces the time it takes for him to get to you. So if you play it strategically and kind of play it defensively with a lot of perfect blocking retorts, then he gets to you quicker, you win the match quicker. But as far as combat itself goes, it's just a case of putting in very simple combos. It feels in the same way that like Devil May Cry or Bayonetta don't have the most complicated melee combos. When you start switching out weapons and using your guns and stuff, that's when it becomes complicated. It has that very simple, just kind of how many variations of pressing triangle and square can you think of? And it keeps things
well,
going.
There's square and triangle, and there's also triangle and square.
And sometimes you can go square, square, triangle, square.
What?
Yeah. What a madman.
Witchcraft.
But it was a lot of fun, again, which was nice. And that's all you want in a game, really, isn't it? Fun.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of One Punch Man and simplified fighting games, you're probably going to get a kick out of this one, to be honest. I did have a lot of fun with it. I'm not going to get it when it comes out. It's got no interest in One Punch Man or fighting games.
So we've just gone from, I had a lot of fun with it to, bugger, I'm not going to pick it up.
Well, yeah, like, you can have fun with something and then not want to
not purchase
give it money.
Dan doesn't understand that principle. I had fun with you. Have some money.
I was just thinking of bad prostitute jokes then.
Well, that's where your brain was going as well. Yeah, it is.
I was trying to keep it slightly out of the gutter, but okay, fine.
Yeah, but all in all, apart from the absolute disaster with the recording, it was a lot of fun at Bandai Namco. They've got some really nice games coming out. I'm excited for two of them. And if we do get an opportunity to review One Piece, I'll probably try and jump on that because I do kind of want to get it, but I don't want to admit it.
Fair enough.
It's like admitting I've got an alcohol problem or something. It's like
I've got a One Piece problem.
Yeah. I just really like pirates and stretchy men.
Okay. Right, we're going to end this segment here before this goes far even more wrong than it is already. And also because we're running short on time as well, because I know Tim has got 3 bullet points here and it's going to take forever. So, Tim, Tuesday is a Tuesday. Tell me about the Tuesday.
Tuesday is indeed a Tuesday, and we've had some stonking Tuesdays of late, and we're continuing with our theme of big little games this month, or great little games, whichever you want to go with. Little big games. I kind of want the big in there because, you know, big red barrel. But anyway. Big little games. Great big games. Anyway, for anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we host an event at the Loading Bar in Dalston called Tabletop Tuesday.
No.
And each and every Tuesday we have a different feature game, usually a board or a card game. And if you play that game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening.
And indeed a mercy.
Last week was a really good fun week. We also gave out some copies of Tabletop Gaming Magazine, and thanks to them again, and that was to help support the fact that they've got the Tabletop Gaming Live at the end of this month at Alexandra Palace in Muswell Hill. It's a really nice venue for a board gaming event, and go check out some more details on their site just look for Tabletop Gaming Live, and that is the 28th and 29th of September. But without further ado, before that, you can come along to one of our events and check out a game. Our feature game this week is called High Society. It's a Rainer Kanezza game. It got quite a bit of buzz when it was re-released last year. It's quite a good kind of interesting kind of auction mechanic going on in the game, and basically, yeah, it's all a bit snooty. Like, the person with the, you have to buy the most kind of stuff as you go throughout the game, and the highest value of stuff without buying bad stuff, but the person at the end of the game with the least amount of money doesn't even get entered into the running to possibly win the game.
Wow.
it's quite mean, but yeah, like, it's just an interesting kind of buying and bidding mechanic game, but quite quick to play, should be a good one to come along and play. Anyone that wants to check out more details, you can check out the top left hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, where there are details of the game and the event and the venue and everything else, and you can also check out details on meetup.com, where we have over 1,800 members, and you can come join the meetup group there and possibly pop along to a Tabletop Tuesday. And I should say that's Tuesday the 17th.
Fair enough.
Of September.
Jolly good. Jolly good. A day that you'll live in infamy.
Possibly.
Indeed. I suppose that's about it then. So thank you for reminding us Tuesday is Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And one other thing, for those of you who've made it this far and are wondering why we aren't talking about anything in the Tokyo Game Show, it's because it's happening as we speak. So we'll have more on that next week once all the things have been a thing. So I suppose we really ought to just give a couple of people some shout-outs as well. So from the Twitters, I would like to say a big hello and thank you to Rob Evans and Ian Alexander Crane, both of whom have been getting stuck into Gears of War 5. Looks very pretty on the X, trying playing on the PC is what I would say. And, I still think that people find it's very Gears, and you know, it's, if you like your Gears, it's more Gears. If you're expecting a brand new and engaging gaming shenanigans, it should be perhaps looking somewhere else is the thing you need to do.
It does sound like it's to a slightly higher standard than the fourth one, which was the first time the Coalition kind of got Indeed. Their hands on the game. So this is them with, you know, a bit more background of having worked on that game and really seemingly hitting out of the park with this one, though.
Indeed. But, you know, I'm going to play more of it, so hopefully give you a bit more of my ruminations over the thing next week. And also from the Facebook, Vicar of the Facebooks, I would like to say thank you to Freya Goddard. That's it. We're done.
We're done.
Rick, thank you.
Flexible Rings. Thank you for having me and putting up with my innuendo.
In your endo.
Mate, it's just nice to have a wingman, finally. That's all I'm going to say.
Tim's just sat there cringing.
Not really. I'm kind of used to by now. I kind of, you know what I'm getting into.
Then I didn't try hard enough, did I?
So talking of, if people do want to hear you try harder, so to speak, just remind everyone where they can listen to your face sounds.
You can listen to my mouth noises on. Is the word I was looking for, on the Comics Inc. podcast, where I co-host with my very good friend Ruben, and we just talk about comics, what's new, what's old, what we're reading, what we want to read, all that good stuff. It's all comic-y, it's nerdy. Come and hang out with two big fat nerds who just love comics.
Sounds good to me. So if that floats your boat, ladies and gents, you know where to go. You should go over there right now, hang out with Rick. Yep, seriously, yep. He'll appreciate it. So we're done for another week. So we're going to bugger off because otherwise then we'd just be talking to a mic all week, and that's no fun for anybody. So we're going to go. Make sure you head on over to www.bigredbarrel.com, twitter.com/bigredbarrel, or indeed facebook.com/bigredbarrel. And on the Big Red Barrel front page, you will find a link to our lovely Discord server where you should come and hang out and say hello, and I will badger you to play Destiny. Because that's the only thing that gives my sad, lonely life meaning is Destiny. So thank you ever so much for downloading us and listening to us once again. And all that really remains is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
And who have you been, Rick?
Play Army of Two. That's who I've been.
I gave you a pretty blatant hint in the question, but good for you, Army of Two. You have fun. Have all of the fun. So yeah, toodaloo, I suppose. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.